We welcome everyone back to our service this evening. Water and blood. We have one verse, and so the lesson is not very long, but a very unusual verse. Here the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." In the epistle, John has stressed two important things. Number one, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We read that in 1 John 4 and verse 2. And number two, those that believe that Jesus has come in the flesh are of God. Truly, they have been born of God. 1 John 5 and verse 1. In the text of our study in 1 John 5 and 6, it offers three witnesses in support of the claim about Jesus. The key word in our verse is witness in our verse. And if you look at verses 6 through verse 10, you'll find that it is used, this word witness, or a form of the word, is used 8 or 9 times, in, as we said, in different forms. The word in the Greek, it means to be a witness or to testify, to give evidence for, or to bear record. And this is important that we understand this, because it is saying that the water and the blood are our witnesses to Jesus Christ. And it is also saying that the Spirit witnesses that Jesus is the Christ. So the witness of the water and the blood. As I said before, I read a lot of references, and the verse is very controversial. Different interpretations. And when you consider the different interpretations, it becomes a little confusing. We're going to look at four of the interpretations and the reason for accepting the one preferred as the context in verse 6. And again, I want to point out there's many more interpretations besides just these four. Number one, the baptism of Jesus by means of water in the Jordan and the death by means of blood upon the cross. That's one interpretation. Number two, the blood and water which flowed from Christ's pierced side while hanging on the cross. Number three, the purification of water and redemption of blood under the law of Moses, which would be a foreshadow of the verse that we're speaking of. Number four, the Christian baptism and the partaking of the Lord's Supper. So these are the four interpretations that we will consider. All of these interpretations are representative of the water and the blood. The water and the blood mentioned in this verse are so connected as to suggest that John 19:33 through 35 as an explanation or an interpretation. There in John 19:33 through 35, it says, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe." So John is the only apostle of the inspired writers who mention both blood and water issued from the Savior's side when a soldier's spear was thrust into it. And he is the only one who declares that Jesus came by water and blood. So the explanation sounds reasonable. Next, the purification of water and redemption of blood under the law of Moses. We read in Hebrews 9 in verse 19, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people." This could be determined, as we said, a foreshadow of the water and blood that we read of in 1 John 5 and verse 6. Adam Clark offers this explanation of the purification of water, of redemption of water and the redemption of blood, although he does not believe this to be the context of 1 John 5 and verse 6. Adam Clark said, "John here makes a mental comparison between Christ and Moses and Aaron. Moses came by water. All the Israelites were baptized unto him in the cloud and in the sea, becoming his flock and his disciples. Aaron came by blood. He entered into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the victim to make atonement for sin. Moses initiated the people into the covenant of God by bringing them under the cloud and through the sea. Aaron confirmed that covenant by shedding the blood, sprinkling part of it upon them and the rest before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Moses came only by water. Aaron came only by blood. And both came as types. But Christ came both by water and blood, not typically, but really, not under the authority of another, but by his own." The explanation of the Christian baptism and the partaking of the Lord's Supper is next. And this one sounds reasonable also. When we are baptized in water for the remission of sins, we are buried with Jesus in death to rise to walk a new life. It is said that we come in contact with the blood of Christ through baptism. And every first day of the week, we partake of the fruit of the vine, which is to us the communion of the blood of Christ. So although these all make good sense, there is one key in 1 John 5 and 6 that determines the true interpretation. Listen carefully. The verse says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ." Now listen. "Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." There is an emphasis that Christ not only came by water, but he came also by blood. And while studying, I ran across this man's name, a man by the name of Cerinthus. If I had read the New King James Study Bible, it mentions this guy's name. I didn't find that till after I completely finished the lesson. But there were a few that interpret this that list this man's name. This particular person was during that time that the Apostle John was writing this letter. Bible Gateway Encyclopedia says this about this man: Cerinthus is not mentioned in the Bible. He was an early Gnostic who lived at the close of the first Christian century. According to the theologian Irenaeus, he appeared around the year 88 AD, was known to the Apostle John, and it was in contradiction of his errors that John wrote his gospel and epistle. The apocryphal epistle of the apostles, written around the middle of the second century, lists him, this man Cerinthus, lists him with Simon Magus as one of the two false prophets concerning whom it is written, that no man shall plead with thee. So Cerinthus was a Jew by race and religion. He studied in Alexandria and was most active in Western Asia Minor, spreading his false teaching about the person of Christ. He taught that the world was created not by God, but by a power far separated from him, that Jesus was the natural son of Joseph and Mary, and although he was more righteous and prudent and wise than any other men, that at Jesus' baptism, the Christ descended upon him in the likeness of a dove, providing him miraculous powers, that at his death, the Christ departed from him, so that it was only the human Jesus that died and rose again. These views regarding Christ became known as Cerinthianism. John says that when Jesus came into this world, he came by water and blood. It is clear from the study of the epistle that John is dedicated to eliminating this false teaching of the Cerinthian Gnostics. They denied the virgin birth of Jesus, the death of Christ, and the death of Christ upon the cross. Water and blood are the identifications by which Jesus came into his public life, and they are witnesses of his character. They are witness of his character and his work. It is plain that water alludes to the baptism of Jesus, according to Matthew 3 and verse 15, and that blood refers to his death on the cross, John 19 and verse 34. Some of the references have tried to limit water and blood to the statement of John 19 and verse 34 that speaks of the spear-pierced side of Jesus that produced both blood and water. But notice this. The order of the words are reversed. John says in 1 John 5 and 6, he came by water and blood, and not by blood and water, that we read in John 19 and 34. Others have tried to make water and blood refer to the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And this theory has merit. But Jesus didn't come by these ordinances. They were established by him for us. Two important things. First, it is important to understand that according to John, it was Jesus Christ before he went through. He was Jesus Christ before he went through the water, and he was Jesus Christ after he came through the water. The fact disproves the doctrine that Christ came to Jesus' body after his baptism. Jesus was the Christ before that event. Second, Jesus came through the blood when he had died on the cross. He was Jesus Christ before he went through the blood and after he went through the blood. The humanity and deity is affirmed and reaffirmed. It's important that these two words, humanity and deity, direct our minds to two important points in the ministry of Jesus. First, to the beginning of his ministry when he was baptized and the Spirit descended. And second, to the close of his ministry when he fulfilled the purpose of his coming and shedding his blood for the sins of the whole world. All things culminated there as he shouted from the cross, "It is finished." The latter part of the verse says, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Three witnesses: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Beareth witness is from the verb that means to be a witness, as we've said before, to testify to give evidence for, and to bear record. The Holy Spirit is an eyewitness to the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he continues to bear witness or testify to that truth. The verb is in the present tense, indicating that he is constantly testifying and giving evidence that Jesus is divine. Jesus tells his apostles that the Holy Spirit shall testify of me. We read this in John 15 and verse 26. There it said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And notice this. Though he may not speak aloud to us today or give miraculous evidence, he continues to testify through the inspired word of God. The apostles have presented themselves as witnesses to the truth of Jesus. Now John appeals to the ultimate source of testimony, the Spirit himself. And he goes on to give authority to the Spirit's testimony by saying, "Because the Spirit is truth." Just as God is light and love, the Holy Spirit is truth, or the very epitome of truth. The Word of God is an instrument of the Spirit in accomplishing his work. Just as an individual uses his words to convey his thoughts, his ideas, and his testimony, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convey his thoughts, ideas, and his testimony. I want you to also notice that this context shows that testimony can be given without words, such as the testimony of the water and the blood. It can also be true of the Holy Spirit. He gives testimony of his presence in the Christian's heart through strengthening the inner man with power of action. So the Holy Spirit testifies through our conduct and our behavior as a Christian. Notice Ephesians 3 and verse 16. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And Romans 8 and verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are born of God by our actions and our conduct, and not only by what we say. So in closing, these are the three witnesses that John uses to support that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Says he came by water, but not by water only, but by water and blood, and that it was the Spirit that bears witness because the Spirit is truth. As we finish, I want to read the Amplified Version. Brother Brian has got me to where I check that every once in a while. 1 John 5 and verse 6, the Amplified Version. "This is he who came through water and blood, his baptism and his death, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. It is the Holy Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. He is the essence and the origin of the truth itself." So, there was a lot of confusion when I started. I seem to understand it a little bit since I've studied it.